Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to a Star Spangled Edition here of UWC Radio Live on blogtalkradio.com. It is your host with the most, the loudest in the crowd. It is myself, I, Lance Winters. Joining me today, we have the one and only Sonia joining us in. Sonia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Didn't you hear me in the beginning of the show? I'm doing awesome today. I'm very grateful. We have a new co-host with us today, ladies and gentlemen. Without further introduction, his name is Ace. Ace, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm getting excited to be part of this show. I can't wait to talk about everything we're talking about.
Perfect. So first off, we're going to talk about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Things like, what was your first wrestling experience? Who was your favorite wrestler? But most importantly, do you acknowledge the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns? That's the first one I want to know.
Okay.
Cody.
First of all, I do acknowledge Roman Reigns, but at the same time, I do want Cody Rhodes to finish his story.
No. This is a very decisive podcast. He said he acknowledges the Tribal Chief, and that's all I heard. And I blacked out after that.
That's fine. I still just want Cody to finish his story. I like Roman. I just want Cody to finish the story. That's it.
Exactly. I'm the same way. I'm a fan of Roman, but I still want Cody to finish his story.
No, yeah, Roman is badass. Like, I can't not like him, but I want Cody to finish his story.
But, Sonia, you've never acknowledged him. You never put a one-up for me. So how do I know that you really do acknowledge your tribal show?
Because of you, I will not.
It's like that. Well, the reason I asked you that first question, Ace, is because we have a bet going on, a deal. If Roman Reigns defends the championship and successfully retains at WrestleMania 40, we're going to take a picture together, all three of us in the United Members Council. We're going to put a one-up in the air. That's going to be the UWC profile picture. So that's why I wanted to let you know the first question, if you were in on this bet as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think Roman Reigns is winning.
Okay, that's 2-1-1.
That's right.
It's going to make it that much better. It's going to make it that much better, WrestleMania 40 live in Philadelphia, when we watch and see Roman retained. I have all three of you guys, all of us, put a finger in the air, acknowledging the Tribal Chief, new profile pic for UWC. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a middle finger.
But the question, what's going to happen if he doesn't? What's the bet there?
The thing is, I would wear a Cody Rhodes shirt, and I would, accept the fact that Cody Rhodes is better.
Wait, what?
Lance is supposed to dress up like Goldust.
I don't remember Louis or anybody talking to me about that.
In the shows and find it.
Yeah, please do, because I'm not accepting that until I get that audio proof. I think also once you acknowledge Cody... Yeah, you better calm down with those jokes, lady. You got me all nervous. Like, I'm not wearing no wig, first and foremost.
You have to go.
Or maybe you could dress up as Stardust.
Stardust? Oh, that's better.
Sonya's scared of Stardust. She don't like clowns.
I don't. They scare me. Like, who was that one? Doink the Clown? You remember him? And Dink, wasn't there Doink and Dink? The little midget clown?
All the scary clowns. Well, it doesn't matter what you guys say. I'll do whatever because it doesn't matter because Roman is going to retain. You guys are going to learn the hard way. So make up whatever silly rules, have me dress up as Goldust, Goldberg, Stardust, whatever you want to say. Because
black fucking Tony. Oops. I didn't mean to cuss.
Yeah, just, you know, that'd be a little embarrassing for me, you know. I'm not a muscular, super jacked up freak like, you know, Scott Steiner or nothing. But yeah, whatever you want to say.
Some black Tony.
Hey, let's settle down now, okay? Let's not get too excited, Sonya. Have you lived in the game and everything?
you kind of sound like a friend of mine who is a huge Roman Reigns fan, who also thinks that Roman Reigns is going to retain, and he says if Roman Reigns loses, he's going to cry. Shout out to my boy Christian, man. He's a huge Roman Reigns fan.
But you see, Christian just has that strong passion for the game, you know, for the business that he loves to watch, you know, and that's how fans get. We're very emotional, but we're no Cody crybabies over here. You know, we're going to take the L if it ever happens. It's not going to happen. We're going to have two Cody crybabies on the UWC podcast on that following Tuesday, and I cannot wait to rub it in your guys' face.
We'll see
about that.
Yep. We will see.
Okay. Let's get off of this tender topic between the three of us. Ace, tell me, who's like some of your favorite wrestlers in the game right now? Who are some of your favorite wrestlers, you know, you watched growing up?
Growing up, my favorite wrestler of all time is Eddie Guerrero. I'm a huge Eddie Guerrero fan. I followed him in ECW. I followed him in WWE. I followed him in WCW. I'm a huge Eddie Guerrero fan. Rey Mysterio, currently and in the past, I'm a huge Rey Mysterio fan. I'm also currently, I'm a huge Dominic Mysterio fan. I like Dominic's character. I love what he's doing. I like Jey Uso. I'm a huge Jey Uso fan, Main Event Jey Uso. I like that he split on his own. And, I can't wait. I can't wait for WrestleMania. Hopefully, we get to see Jey versus Jimmy. My all-time favorite, like I said, it's always been Eddie Guerrero. He's the one that got me into pro wrestling.
Awesome. Glad to hear that, you know. And, yeah, Dominic right now is currently killing the game. He's one of the best heels around just with his crowd reactions. And, you know, he's getting better every week with his work and his on-mic time, you know. But just him as a character, everyone wants to boo him. Nobody wants to let him talk. But he still shows up with that swagger and that inflated self-confidence that somehow gets him through the day. And I think part of it is knowing that he's got the Judgment Day behind his back.
Exactly. I agree.
So tell me a little bit about what you do when you're not with the council. I heard you got a familiar vlogs going on. What's that all about?
I'm a YouTuber. I have a YouTube channel, Ace and His Familia Vlogs on YouTube. Sometimes when I go out with my family, I'm married, I have two kids. Sometimes when we go out as a family, we go do vlogs and have fun and show that. Or sometimes I also do pro wrestling meet and greets when I can, and I also do vlogs for that when I go meet wrestlers. I met several wrestlers. I met Rey Mysterio's uncle, the original Rey Mysterio. I've met many different current and former WWE stars like Andrade, so many others. I have a YouTube channel. I do have a TikTok as well. I like to do pranks on my family members, and I post that, or I do pro wrestling reviews on TikTok as well. So on TikTok, it's just Ace and His Familia. And then on YouTube, it's Ace and His Familia Vlogs. And it's the same thing when all my social media is Ace and His Familia Vlogs. I like to do a lot of things like that with my family and pro wrestling. That's what the two things that are important to me, my family and pro wrestling.
Awesome. I love to hear that. Is there a wrestler that you would like to meet that you have not met yet?
Yes. The biggest person I really, really want to meet is someone who used to be a WWE superstar, who looks like it's about to be a AEW wrestler, AEW star, Mercedes Moné, a.k.a. Sasha Banks. I think she's one of the best women's wrestlers currently. I'm a huge Sasha Banks fan. I followed her throughout her career, and I know how much she was influenced by Eddie Guerrero. So, yeah, I would love to meet Sasha Banks.
And just to throw this back around the table so everyone has an input, Sonia, who is someone you haven't met yet that you would like to meet? I know you're at WrestleCon last year. You got to see a lot of people, including, you know, Nia Jax and some others. So who's someone that you haven't seen yet you want to knock off that list?
The Bella Twins. Or Maurice and the Miz.
Okay, oh, yeah. Okay. Nice choices. Remind me, who'd you get to see at WrestleCon last year when you were at the panel and you had your little booth going on? I know Nia was a big one, but any other ones
Still
the nerves?
Kurt Angle. There was Rob Van Dam. There was Mick Foley, X-Pac, and Diesel, Trish, and Lita. Who else do we? Oh, well, I saw Chavo Guerrero, but I've known him for a while. But there was Goldberg, Ric Flair. There's a lot.
Okay, never mind. Stop, because you guys just both get me all a little hot and flustered, a little jealous. I haven't personally been to any of these meet and greets, these expos, these cons. I did, however, get to meet a bunch of wrestlers who ended up going into AEW, you know, such as Brian Cage, Brody King. I got to meet LA Knight before he was LA Knight. So I got some people too, okay? So don't get all hot in your seat because you got to see Kurt Angle, okay? You get it. You're cool.
Hey, I got more impressive when I was younger and when I was around my dad.
Oh, that's very true. Your father, Pistol Pete.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
yeah, it was.
Well,
crazy. Nothing was better back then.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure life was a different time back then. I wasn't introduced into wrestling as a fan.
No, people were so judgy. You know, like you could get away with funny gimmicks and stuff, even and without people being all offended.
Yeah, we were talking about that with the Royal Hawaiian last week about how you can't really bring back Glow because some of the characters were like canceled in this day and age.
Especially with the problems in the world today. No bueno.
No thanks. Especially, I think social media is the biggest problem with it, you know, because not everyone can just tweet it. You'll get canceled. Cancel culture is real, even here in the WWE or in the wrestling world, I should say.
Yeah.
But one more question for Sonia real quick.
What?
Sonia, how's Edge doing in AEW?
Oh, actually, I haven't seen it. I haven't watched AEW in a while.
That's okay. He's not on. And that's kind of the joke we were making for a while now. Sonia believes that Edge joining AEW is going to be a resurgence to his career. He's going to be a superstar again. He had a feud with Christian Cage for like 6 months. And then where is he now?
He was going to go wrestle with his brother. That he wanted to go wrestle with, you know, like, I don't know. I thought that was
cool.
Well,
yeah, he just returned last week.
I don't think going from
WWE
to AEW is ever a good move.
What was that, Ace?
I was saying that he just returned at the last episode this Wednesday. He returned, and it looks like he's about to have another match with Christian Cage. So he just came back.
Yeah.
Yes, he came back from a losing streak of not winning that TNT gold he's been dying for. I'm just teasing you, Sonia. I know you love Edge. I think you should have just left retired after that Sheamus match. That was a good way out. You're over here in Canada, you know, doing your thing.
Go back to acting.
Now you're go back to acting. Okay, yeah, you told me about that Viking show. I actually started watching it. It's not that bad. It's pretty decent.
I really like that show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
have you gotten to his park yet?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's pretty decent so far. I'm waiting to see the man in action, you know. then I could fully judge him and be like, okay, she's right.
I don't even remember. I don't remember the part that he comes on. It's just at one moment I'm like, oh, shit, that's Ed.
Wild times. That loved the crossover into the industry.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have our guest, MMA fighter Eddie Bernal. Stay tuned to UWC Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out Paul's Photos out in Torrance. Paul's Photos is the best spot to go to get your photography needs, whether you need camera equipment, whether you'd like your photograph taken. They can even take your old family albums and transcribe them into the digital world so you never lose a moment. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Check out Paul's Photos. If we're all ready to go, Sonia, let's give Mr. Eddie Bernal a call.
All right. Hello, can everybody hear me? Everybody
I can hear you. I heard one ring, so I thought you picked up quick.
I heard a hello, but
then it got quiet. Are you there?
Hmm. Oh, no, that was me with the hello when after the first ring. I got excited, thought he was on the line. Let's give him another try. Let's give it a minute. We'll give him another try.
All right.
It's very confusing when one of us says hello. It's like, wait, did I answer? All right, I'm going to try again. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's going like, hold on, let's try again. This is not acting correctly right now.
Sonia gives him a call. Just want to let the show host, everybody listening know they can call in. The number is 563-999-3016. Feel free to call in whenever if you have a question for a panel or for one of our hosts.
Yep, that's the right number. Just had to double check.
We have to put one in front of maybe. Let's see.
Hello? Yeah, for some reason, the call is not going through. I'm going to send him the call-in number, and then I'll let him call in.
Sounds good. Like I said, just in case you guys are ever calling in, this is not a California number, so you might get thrown off by that. But, again, the number is 563-999-3016. If you guys ever want to call in on any future episodes, if you have any opinions on what we're going through, let us know.
He says he can't hear us.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's the website is messing up for some reason. But I gave him the number to call. Let's see. Okay, there he goes.
Hey, Eddie.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Lance?
Hey, Eddie, how's it going? Welcome to UWC Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. How's your night going so far?
It's pretty good, man. How's yours?
Can't complain. It's going pretty great. So to jump into this thing, we have a lot of international fans, you know, people listening all over the world. So to start off this podcast, would you mind introducing yourself and where you're from, and then we'll get into some questions.
Yeah, of course. My name's Eddie Bernal. I am a mixed martial artist and MMA fighter. And I live in Pomona, California, but I train out of Fountain Valley, California.
Awesome. So you're an MMA fighter. You're paid to fight. When was your first fight? Was it like elementary school, middle school? When did that, you know, everyone has a little silly story about their first fight. I was just curious about yours.
No, I mean, I never really got into any fights. I loved watching, like, pro wrestling when I was younger, and I loved hanging out with my older cousins, and so we would always, like, mess around with the moves and stuff, and I really liked that. But, yeah, my first actual fight, I never really got into any altercations or anything growing up. I had really good parents, so I never wanted to disappoint them or anything, so they were great examples. So, yeah, no, I didn't really got to any fights. My first fight was when I did my amateur debut back in November of 2019.
Okay, that's good. Because, you know, I fought some kids trying to take my lunch money back in the day, so I didn't know if you had a similar story or not. But
yeah, no, it was all good. I was trying to be a nice kid, man.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that at all. It's always the nice kids that turn out deadly, as we'll talk about later in your matches. But tell me, what made you want to train in MMA? You said you grew up watching wrestling, like messing around with your family. What made you decide, hey, I'm actually going to go somewhere and get trained? And where did you start your training?
Yeah, so I pretty much played baseball my whole life. I loved watching like combat sports and things like that. But I started wrestling in high school. I started training in high school, and then I started doing jiu-jitsu just afterwards with one of my buddies. His dad owned the school, and I'm sorry, I'm battling a cold.
No worries.
But yeah, I started training just after high school, and then started doing a little bit of boxing, and then started doing some competitions, and then yeah, pretty much it took off after that.
No worries. I'm sorry you're feeling this cold. I hate to put it on you like that. But it says here that you're a brown belt under Tim Cartmell. Can you tell us a little bit about him and his mastery?
Yeah, Tim's the man. When I first started training, I was kind of an idiot. And so I kind of just wanted to be like a badass and kind of learn how to, like, you know, just kind of be a bad dude, you know. And then I started training and I met my coach, Tim, and he was just the man. He was very, like, calm and very zen, and I realized very quickly that I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be somebody that, you know, when somebody was around, they didn't feel, like, intimidated or, you know, they didn't feel anything like that around me. They just kind of, just, like, felt more, like, safe. They kind of, you know, things like that, and just calm. It's kind of really what I wanted to be like, and that's exactly how Tim is. He's just like a true martial artist, and I'm very, very lucky to be able to train under him and learn from him and be like him. He's definitely changed my life for the better, for sure. So, yeah, he has books on fighting. He's just been a martial artist his whole life, and I just try to absorb as much as I can and try to pass it on. And, yeah, he's awesome.
All right, so I'm assuming that Coach Tim does more than coach. He had a career in fighting as well?
Yeah, he started Kung Fu when he was a little kid, and then he didn't find Jiu-Jitsu until he was, like, around 30. I know he did a couple competitions in China in Sanda, which is kind of like a form of where he's, like, striking with, like, takedowns. It's not as a more well-known martial art, but it's very popular in China over there, and so it translates pretty well to MMA. So I know he did a few fights with that. He competed in jiu-jitsu. I think he won the Pan Ams, which is a really, really big tournament, as a brown belt. So he's a really, really good coach, 5th-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu. And but yeah, he I don't think he ever did any MMA fights, like in the cage or anything like that. I think that kind of came later on, but yeah, but as far as jiu-jitsu goes, yeah, he competed a lot in jiu-jitsu. I know he competed a lot in Sanda and things like that. So he just knows so much. He's awesome.
That's awesome. I always just wanted to know, you know, sometimes the masters, they don't get into the ring, they don't get into a fight, they just know so much. But it seems like Tim actually, you know, handles his business and was able to teach you that way through experience rather than what he's learned. So that's really cool to hear that your coach actually was hands-on in his earlier days, and even now as he trains you to be more calmer and more focused on your fighting. Speaking of your fighting, let's talk about your last fight with Armando Vasquez. How was that? How are you feeling? You know, this wasn't your first fight, but your last fight, your most recent fight as of February.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was definitely, it was different. It was my ninth fight overall, but it was my first fight coming off of a loss. And so that, you know, there's a lot of things that play into that. And I'd never fought coming off of a loss before. So I took some time off to kind of really make some proper adjustments. And I wanted to make sure that I felt like all of the holes in my game were patched up for the most part until I got back in there. And then the opportunity presented itself. And so we got going. And, yeah, it just the whole camp was really, really good. My training partners were more than happy to help out and had a lot of really good sparring partners. And the thing I love about my gym so much, Ace Jiu-Jitsu, is I'm really the only guy that fights in the cage out of there. And so, like, when I go to get ready for a fight, the whole gym gets ready, and they all rally around me, and they do everything they can to help me out, and everybody does their part. And so it really is like a team effort, so I don't feel like I'm doing it alone. And they really did a good job with making me feel good this camp. So, yeah, it went really well. I started changing up my boxing a little bit. I started working with one of my older coaches and started working a lot more on footwork and movement and things like that. And the game plan for the fight was to do what I always want to do and take it to the ground and really just, like, put on a show like that and use my jiu-jitsu, ground and pound, look for submission, things like that. But, yeah, ended up using a lot of movement, staying really, really calm, and I kind of threw a couple punches to kind of feel things out, see what his reactions were. I saw in the tape that we reviewed of him that he likes to carry his right hand pretty low, and so I was kind of looking for that. So I set up a couple of jabs, and then I threw a little right hand to see how he would react to it. And then I threw a little left hook to the body. I saw it landed pretty good, actually, and then I saw his elbow drop a little bit. So I threw another jab after that. He slipped off to the side, and he parried it. So he used his right hand to move my punch out of the way, and he moved his head off to the side, and then he chased me. So I used my footwork to slide back, and then I was like, okay, he parried it. He knows my left hand's coming, so I see his right hand is low. So I, instead of throwing a jab, I just threw a short little hook, and he thought it was the jab. And so he moved his head off to the side, which went right into the hook. And I kind of felt that I landed clean, but I feel like I've landed cleaner punches before. And I saw he was wobbled. Like he was like looking down and his arms were out. He was trying to gain his balance. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's hurt. And so I slid back in and I didn't notice until afterwards when I watched the film, but I ended up doing one of Tim's techniques where I threw a hook, a lead hook, and actually pulled his lead hand down, which opened up all the space in the world to my right hand, and that was the one that cleaned him. And then, yeah, it all happened so fast, but there was a lot of – going back and reviewing the footage, there was a lot of stuff that we worked on, and it all just kind of showed in 19 seconds. So it was a really, really good win. Felt amazing. Yeah, I never had a knockout with my hands before, so it was really nice to get that. I never really thought that would happen because most – usually my fights end up on the ground. But, yeah, that was really cool.
That's got to be awesome, man. Like you said, coming back from a loss, you know, I understand when you take a loss, you know, your confidence might be a little broke, a little shattered, but having the support of your team and having the support of your coaches, you know, definitely led you to, like I said, your first knockout. That must have been a fantastic feeling, you know. Besides your team, besides your coaching, after that loss, what kept you going, saying, you know what, this isn't going to be the end or this isn't going to be the start of a downfall? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, there was a lot of things. I knew that I'm the type of guy, like, if I'm playing, like, anything or I hate, like, if I go to the batting cages, like, I love going to the batting cages, I cannot, if my last swing is a miss or it's a, I pound it into the ground or I pop it up or whatever, I go, okay, I can't end like that. Like, I got to end like with a nice swing. So just like anything like that, I don't like going out when I'm not feeling good. So for me, it's like, okay, well, that last performance, I knew it wasn't a good performance. I knew I could have done better. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to go out like that. I know that's not going to be, I don't know how long I'm going to fight for, but I know for a fact that's not going to be my last fight. Whether my next fight is in, whether it's in 5 years, whether it's in 10 years, whether it's in 1 year, I don't know. But I can guarantee that's not going to be my last fight. And so, plus the other thing is too, is like at our gym, and I know a lot of them went to my fight before this one and they saw me lose. And like I said, that was my first loss in like 8 fights. And so everybody's so used to like me winning. And but this is like a good way just to be, hey, you know, like these things happen. You know, we take losses in life. It's the way it goes. But you have to be able to assess it properly, not be afraid to go back and look at it and observe what went wrong, because that's really the only way that we can make progress and get better. So even though losing isn't fun, it's definitely necessary for success in the long run. So and it really helps out too, like when kids go to tournaments and things like that, and I'm like, hey, you know, I lost too. It's like, you know, winning is difficult. Winning is very, very difficult. It's very hard to do and it takes a lot of tries, and it's just, you know, it's just the way it is. So but yeah, so that was really one of the big things. I knew I wasn't going to end on a loss. So yeah, that was really what kept me going, and just knowing that I could do better, you know, that was really the big thing, and knowing that I have the ability to fix those mistakes and show people, like, this is, you know, that wasn't me. This next performance is what I'm capable of, so.
Very humbling, very honest of yourself, you know, because everyone likes to think they're Superman. Everyone likes to think they're Mr. Untouchable until that moment happens, and I've seen guys, you know, on their first loss say, well, that's it, I'm wrapping it up. But, you know, when, like I said, you had your team with you, you had your coach with you, and they even have these kids, you know, you show the humility of, yeah, we can't win them all, but coming back is what makes you a real winner. And like I said, just want to congratulate you coming back on a knockout. Like, that probably blew your mind, like saying, oh, yeah, look at that. Like, I can knock somebody out. It doesn't always end on the ground. Like, I got this power tapped inside of me, you know, so. I just thought that was really cool, hearing your story right now. And you tell me that Ace Jiu-Jitsu, that's your spot that you train at. Where is that located?
It's in Fountain Valley, so it's like kind of like in the Huntington Beach area. So
okay.
Yeah, it was pretty far from where I lived, so it was like about like a 50-minute drive one way. So, and then not counting traffic. But I loved the place so much that I didn't want to train anywhere else. The drive was worth it for me. So, yeah, it's a nice little spot.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to go get some jiu-jitsu, and Ace Training is probably the best spot over here in Fountain Valley. I'm in Newport, so I'm not too far from that. So, you know, maybe I'll dabble into it. So that kind of leads me to my next question. You know, what kind of advice would you give somebody if they were thinking of, you know, starting to get into MMA, starting into these mixed martial arts? What's a tip before you get into one of these gyms?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest tip is really just to kind of come in with like an open mind and just be ready to learn. Like, I mean, I've been doing this for around 6 years now, and, you know, like a lot of people I talk about when they first come in, they're surprised as to how hard it is and how difficult it is. And it's like always a really humbling experience. Like even when I started, like I wrestled and I watched a lot of MMA and stuff. So I knew, like, I didn't know how to do the submissions, but I knew what they looked like and what they were. So when I was messing around with my buddies and stuff that didn't train, I was able to do them. And so I was like, okay, I kind of more or less understand this. And then you go into people that actually do this and you just get absolutely destroyed. And I was like, in pretty good shape. I was right out of high school, you know, and I was like getting beat up by guys that were computer programmers and, you know, they just people that worked like desk jobs. They were, and then this was just their hobby, and they were just tooling with me, you know? And, so you just gotta be prepared to understand that, you know, you have a lot to learn. It's going to take a long time, but that's just that's just the way it is, and that's what makes it fun. If it was, you know, if it was easy, and it just, it wouldn't be rewarding. You know, anything that's worth doing is really going to be difficult. So, but that's what makes it the best part. I still, even I've been doing this for so long, I still approach every single day like a beginner, man, because there's always more to learn, and you can learn something from everybody. So, yeah, I would say if you were gonna, if anybody's gonna think about trying it out, like definitely should. I don't know anybody that's really regretted just training for fun. You learn a lot about yourself. You gain confidence. Obviously, it's a good workout, and you make a lot of friends along the way. So I think I saw a quote one time. Somebody, I can't remember who said it, but they said that like friendships that are made through martial arts and like jiu-jitsu and things like that, they're based in like respect. You know, you walk into the mat, you know, like everybody on the mat has the ability to like, you know, bring it and do something. And so you just respect everyone. Whereas, you know, maybe in the real world, that's not always the case. So these, like the friendships I've made here are that I feel like they'll last me forever. So, and I cherish them very dearly.
That's awesome to hear. And yeah, it's the same with the wrestling community as it turns like in terms of like friendship and that mutual respect level, because once you've gotten into a ring with somebody, whether you're training, whether you have that match, you know that, you know, you may not like each other behind the scenes or for personal reasons or whatever. At the end of the day, that's a brotherhood, that's a fellowship. And there's only such a small amount of people that are in that business, whether it's jiu-jitsu, whether it's any other form of mixed martial art or wrestling, you know. So it's very cool to have that same thing in the MMA world as it is in the wrestling world, where you have that brotherhood. When you guys are all on the mat or whether we're all in the ring, you know, you just admire each other more for, like you said, it's not something easy. It's something that you have to work at, you have to train for, and yeah, you can't just pick it up like a video game. You know, you got to really put in the effort. So you're saying that you've been doing this for about 6 years now. Have you ever had any injuries that kind of sidelined your career, whether you broke something maybe or a concussion or something that kept you from training or kept you from competing?
As far as keeping me from competing, I would say no. It probably should have kept me from competing, and I probably should have listened to my body a little bit more. But I have torn the cartilage between my ribs a couple times, one on each side, and I fought through it both times. And, yeah, that injury is really, really painful. But, as far as that, I mean, you know, knock on wood, haven't really had anything. I have a lot of really good training partners that take care of me. And, you know, the thing I love about our gym is, you know, everybody, again, it's like a family. We all want to get better and we all want to push each other, but we know we're there to take care of each other. So everybody's looking out for everybody. So anything that's really happened to me has really just been like a freak accident, you know, things that we can't really control. But other than that, I mean, that's really, really been it. I mean, of course, I had like a couple little like black eyes here and there and, you know, maybe some like a sprained ankle. But really the worst one that I've had so far is really probably just like the torn ribs. And yeah, those aren't fun. Those are terrible. But yeah, I'm very lucky.
I will definitely take your word on the bruise and the damaged ribs. I wouldn't want to wish that upon anybody else. You're a strong man for getting through it, and like you said, on both sides. So good to hear that. Also, that you haven't had any long-term injuries. I'm knocking on wood right now as I say that. I wish you a continued healthy, successful career. So talking about your last fight. You know, you're coming back from a loss. You were nervous about it. You didn't know what to feel. You came out winning. That's kind of similar to how your first amateur competition went. What were you feeling before your first competition and then finding out that you came out first place?
Yeah. My first was really interesting because I started training in around February of 2018. And a couple months later, so in April, my coach's coach, his name is Clever Luciano. He's very, very popular in this area. They do a tournament every year called the Copa Pacifica. And so Clever, he has a lot of black belts. And so a lot of the black belts opened up schools in this area. So there's a lot of jiu-jitsu schools that are associated with Clever. So anytime the Copa happens, it's a real fun tournament for the coaches because they all know each other. So it's kind of like that fun competitive nature. It's like, oh, my school versus your school type of deal. So my coach really liked the way I was training, and he was like, hey, I think you should do this tournament. And the tournament was in the gi. So for anybody that's not too familiar with it, there's really two forms of jiu-jitsu. It's in the gi, that's like the robe-looking thing with the belt, and then there's no gi where you wear like shorts and just like a rash guard. So I had mainly trained – actually, I had only trained no gi because I was still like in college and stuff. I don't really have a whole lot of money, so I couldn't afford a gi. I didn't know what kind of gi to buy. So, and it was, again, I lived for me to go there every single day. So I only trained on the no gi days. But my coach was like, hey, you should, you know, do this tournament. And I was like, okay. And then he was like, it's in the gi. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really have a gi. He's like, we could borrow one. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So I was looking at the weight classes and it was like 10 pounds. Like I had to cut or I was going to be finally big dudes. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll cut the weight. So cut the weight, which was the most I had ever cut at that time. I didn't really cut a whole lot of weight. Even when I wrestled, I didn't cut that much weight. And so, I was walking around like 172 and the weight class was like 160. And I was like, okay, so I'll cut the weight. So I did that. And then showed up to the tournament and the bracket was pretty big. And there was another guy from my bracket in my bracket that was from my gym. And we were on opposite sides of the bracket. So my coach thought it was going to be us two like in the finals. And, he lost first round, and the first guy I fought was very, very tough. He was super good, and we went to war. He was just like, we were going takedowns after takedowns, and he almost beat me in the end of regulation, but I was able to stop him from scoring, and we ended up going to overtime, and I ended up hitting a super nice throw, and I won because overtime is sudden victory. And so I ended up winning, and I was really exhausted. And then I think I had, like, three more matches after that. And I ended up winning all of them, like, on points because I really didn't know too many submissions yet, and the guys were pretty good. But my wrestling was pretty good, so it ended up working out. So it was a really, really cool feeling because even when I wrestled, I didn't really win any tournaments. Like, I joined wrestling pretty late, and I was, like, getting smoked all the time. And, like, one time I got second place in a really big bracket, and it was, like, the coolest feeling ever. So to win a gold medal in a bracket like that in my first tournament was super, super, like, I did not expect it. I just did the tournament because my coach told me to. And I was like, okay, well, if he believes in me, then, you know, he's probably right. He's been doing this a while. So, so it was, I tell people, like, especially kids when they're thinking about doing tournaments or, like, adults when they come in sometimes thinking about doing tournaments. I'm like, dude, just sign up, you know, go out there, try it out. You might surprise yourself, you know, or if anything, you're just going to learn something. So, you learn a lot about yourself when you compete, for sure.
Well, I'm glad to see you made it through your brackets to the top placement. Unfortunate for your partner or your co, you know, guys sharing the same gym. That guy didn't make it to the first round, but that just shows you, like you said, in your first round, you're going against some guy that was really tough and made it a challenge. And then, like, again, like you said, there's no problem in joining these kind of tournaments to see how you place in the big world, because you may be the biggest fish in your gym, but when it comes to all these other people, you really see, you cut your teeth kind of and see where you place around everyone else. And, first place, congratulations on that, man. That's definitely an achievement. You know, it's not the Olympics, but it's somewhere to start, you know, to see where you're going. And then after that, you know, you have your career ahead of you where you just had your last win via knockout. And it's incredible to see your progress, you know, in that span of time.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's crazy too for me to think about it. Cause my buddy that got me into it, like, we went to high school together and we really didn't start really hanging out till like around this time, our senior year, and we knew each other for since freshman year, and we just started like hanging out, and then we got really close, and then he just offered me to come in and train one day, and I was like, all right, and to go from like there to think about where we are now is just like unbelievable, but it's just crazy how life works like that.
Yeah, life is a journey, and it's unexpected. So. Right now you don't have a next match lined up. You're just training, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm thinking about probably doing a little bit more grappling tournaments just to kind of stay competing. But yeah, as far as fights go, I kind of got a bunch of like family stuff coming up right now. Like we got like a couple weddings. We're really, really excited for all those. So, I kind of have to like work around that. We'll see what's going to happen. But, whatever I do next, I know it's going to be huge. So, but yeah, as far as right now, I'm just training. I'm just enjoying training. I love training more than anything. So, yeah.
Congratulations on all the love in your family. Weddings are definitely fun. They're something to be excited about, especially when it's not yours, because you don't have to stress so much. You're just there to enjoy the love and peace. And last thing you want is a black eye in one of those photos, you know, that stay for life.
Yeah, that's facts.
Well, as we fight up against the clock right now, I want to give you a chance to, if you want to give a shout out to anybody or you want to plug your social medias before we get on out of here.
Yeah. Anybody that's in the area, if you're thinking about trying out jiu-jitsu, I suggest that you try a class anywhere. But if you're in the Orange County area or Fountain Valley, Huntington Beach area, you should come by and check out Ace Jiu-Jitsu. We have an Instagram page. It's ace.jiu-jitsu. So we have a lot of stuff on there. We have a lot of samples of like our coach Tim coaching and, just kind of gives you a good sense of how tight our gym is and how much of a family we are. So we welcome everybody with open arms. You can come in, try a class for free, see how you like it. Social medias, my Instagram is just Eddie Bernal, E-D-D-I-E, Bernal, B-E-R-N-A-L, 3. And then, let's see, my Twitter is pretty much the same thing. So it's the exact same thing, Eddie Bernal, 3. But yeah, other than that, I just want to give a big shout out to especially everybody that came out to watch me fight. It really meant a lot to me that, you know, it was a pretty long layoff for me. It was like 11 months, almost the entire year. And we still packed the house and it was just crazy to me how many people still wanted to, you know, show up to watch me fight, even though after all that time coming off of a loss, you know, people were still supporting me and, you know, even like the venue was the same place that I lost at last time. So that was a little scary to go into. But I know the venue wasn't the easiest place to park at. I know at the first fight I did there, a lot of people got towed. So because they didn't know where to park. But a lot of people still showed up. We packed the house. And just everybody's support just means the world to me. I got to give a huge shout out to my dad. My dad is the man. Anybody that like knows me or you know, knows about my fighting, they know that my dad is the man. He goes crazy selling tickets. I would not be anywhere close to where I'm at right now if it wasn't for my dad. And my mom, too. My mom, the way she supports me, I know it's really nerve-wracking to see your son go into the cage. And so the fact that my mom supports me, even though I know it's extremely difficult for her, it really, really means the world to me. Just my whole family, my brother, my sister, everybody, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, everybody's always trying to do what they can to tell people about my fights just to help sell tickets and stuff. So everybody's support means so, so much to me, and I wouldn't be able to do it without them. So, I got my sponsors, Mina's Pizza and Nunez Embroidery. Those guys are the best. If you need any shirts made, any hoodies, hats, anything, Nunez Embroidery, you can look them up. Or if you look up on my Instagram, I have them tagging a lot of my stuff. They did my fight shorts. They looked amazing. I'm getting them framed because they look so good. They're the best. So if you need any hats or anything done, Nunez Embroidery, look them up on Instagram. They're your guy. They're so, so good. But yeah, other than that, really, really good stuff from my support system. They're everything to me.
Yeah, support is the most fundamental thing besides your own training, you know. So when you get into that ring next for your next fight, remember you have support in your family, your friends, your sponsors, even people like us here at UWC. We're going to be cheering you on, man, and I hope to catch you at one of your next fights. Thank you again, Eddie, for joining us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. Have a great night, all right?
All right. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with UWC Radio on blogtalkradio.com.
Paul's Photo is your local camera store, no matter where you live. In Torrance at Hawthorne and Pacific Coast Highway, or online at paulsphoto.com, we've got the cameras and video gear that you need to slam your next assignment, your next vacation, your next job, or just your next party. We've got the expert advice to help you, the budding wrestler and creator, to make amazing videos, to get recognized on YouTube. Our classes at Creative Photo Academy will help you rock it. They'll get you the knowledge you need and inspire you to be a top 10 performer. Even the Hulk loves to come here and get his photos processed in the lab, where we can scan old photos and videos, get them to you online, and help preserve your memory. Paul's Photo is the greatest place to get your photos taken care of.
Welcome back to UWC Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. We just had an amazing interview with MMA fighter Eddie Bernal. He was a fountain of knowledge. I just want to ask the panel, Sonya, I'll ask Sonya first. Sonya, do you think I should try this MMA thing out? You think I got it in me?
Yeah, I think you could do it. If Della could do it, you could do it.
Hey, so do you want to try some MMA with me, see how that goes?
I've tried a little bit here and there in the past, but, you know, it's kind of difficult. I've seen people, I know I have family members that also tried MMA, so, you know, that's in the past.
All right. So if I ever do try this MMA out, Ace, you'll be my vlogger, my videographer as I try, because I'm thinking about it. You know, Fountain Valley's not too far from where I'm at, so... You know, maybe I will give it a go sometime, but until then, we're going to go over some highlights of WWE's Elimination Chamber. Ace, a couple weeks ago, we had the Elimination Chamber. We had four big matches. Which one was your favorite?
To me, it was the Women's Elimination Chamber match. I thought everybody put up a great show, and it was a little predictable, but at the same time, predictability sometimes is a good thing. The people that I wanted to win, actually, they won. So, but I think the women killed it. I think the women did an amazing job, especially the new girl that came in from NXT. I love Tiffany Stratton. I think she did amazing. I just think the whole way they did the chamber match for the women, I think they all killed it.
I definitely agree with you on that. And like you said, it is a little predictable, but what's not predictable is how we get there. You know, we all knew Lynch was going to win and go up to the challenge, but we didn't know the flips and the dives and the moves that were going to be associated to bring us to that ending. You know, Tiffany definitely put on a show. She eliminated Naomi first. She dove off the top with that swanton. You know, she was eliminated. But, you know, like you said, it was kind of predictable, but we enjoyed the ride. Sonya,
exactly.
What was your favorite match in the Elimination Chamber?
There was, like, so many, like, well, her jumping off the thing was pretty, but that was probably the best thing that happened in that chamber thing. I mean, we watched that, 2 weeks ago? We were supposed to talk about it last week, so I kind of don't really remember it too good. But I do remember that jump. That was, like, the thing that was, like, wow.
Well,
I do remember
just
the
just a recap for you, Sonya. Yeah, there you go. I was going to say, there's the women's chamber, the men's chamber, the tag team championship between Judgment Day and Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. And then, yes, the women's world championship match, Rhea versus Nia. And I like that one the most, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about predictable, but at the same time, we don't know what's going on. Tell me, sorry.
No problem. I also think a huge highlight from that for the men's was when Bobby Lashley speared Logan Paul. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well deserved for the troll in WWE. I know some of you don't like him too much either.
I hate them both.
Well, another fun point about that show that we didn't get to talk about was the Grayson Waller effect had Cody Rhodes there, Seth Rollins there, and that's when Cody called out The Rock saying, anytime, any place, which takes us to tomorrow, where SmackDown will be live and all four men will be in the building. So who knows what's going to pop off? You got Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, and The Rock. Ace, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow night on SmackDown?
I think Cody Rhodes is going to get his receipt back from that slap at the press conference. I think it's going to be an all-out brawl, but I think most importantly, Cody's going to get that receipt, and I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah, especially when he's got the world heavyweight champ behind him. You know, he's not walking into the lion's den alone, so you got some support from Seth, who just announced that he is medically cleared, so we don't have to worry about him getting hurt in this altercation that may happen tomorrow.
I do think we also might get Jey Uso there because of what happened on Raw with Jimmy Uso costing him his match against Drew McIntyre. I could see Jey Uso coming to SmackDown as well as a surprise, going after his brother.
Yes, I went to a Raw live event about 2 weeks ago, the week before Elimination Chamber. That's when he was going up against Gunther in the main event. And, yeah, there he goes, your brother again interrupting things and messing it up. So I think Jimmy's got a receipt coming his way as well.
I agree.
Did you guys get to watch AEW's Revolution pay-per-view that happened last weekend?
No, I didn't.
I did. I liked it. It was a good show. A little bit over the top, especially in the Sting match with the glass. But it was good matches. I really did enjoy it. I just felt that it could have needed a little bit more storyline. But the matches were good.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. So we'll start from the top, I guess. Sting's last match. The whole vignette was pretty cool, starting off him in the theater, watching his whole career ahead of him. I liked his entrance a lot, because in his entrance, you had his sons dressed up as different versions of Sting. So when I first saw Sting coming out, Surfer Sting, I was like, wow, he dyed his hair for this? This man's going all out, you know? And then you saw the Wolfpack Sting come out. I was like, wait, what's going on? And then I realized, oh, yeah, he's got two sons, so they were playing up that entrance. It was a pretty cool show, and yeah, check it out. But I agree with you that they went a little too far, starting off hot, going outside, going through tables. The whole Darby Allin thing, yeah, that was wild. Darby Allin climbed like 30 feet in the air just to smash onto a panel of glass. There's a lot of AEW people in the front row trying to set up a settlement for that. But as you guys all know, you know, you're subject to your own risk when you attend any of these shows, whether it's AEW, WWE, or an indie show, you know. You move out the way when you see something about to happen. So there's no – a lot of people online the last couple of days are saying, oh, is AEW, you know, culpable for this or not? And, yeah, no. The fans know what they're getting into. Tony Khan's got lawyers, and it's just not going to work in their favor. But other matches I liked was the women's title match with Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo. Deonna, in the weeks before, saying, I don't want this fabulous Toni Storm or this timeless Toni Storm. I want the Toni Storm here. So when it was entrance time, again, I got duped, you know, because Mariah May came out in the old NXT WWE style of Toni Storm with the baseball hat and the gear. And I was like, oh, snap, she's bringing it back. And then I got pulled again, you know, because it was still timeless Toni Storm. She came in with a win, not too clean, but besides that, I think that was a great show. Like you said, it was good action, but it definitely could have used more storytelling or more story building to really get me invested. And Sonia, I'll send you a link so that way we can watch it on the low without having to, well, I'm not going to say anymore, but you know what I mean.
All right.
Yeah, because, I mean, the pay-per-views are decent, you know, like it's got good action and stuff. It's worth watching. It's just the stories are, like Ace said, a little hard to invest into. So, yeah, I'll message you after the show. And last but not least, NXT's Roadblock review. That just happened like 2 days ago. So I want to ask Ace, which match did you like the most? Which one you didn't like so much? What was your feelings on Roadblock?
I think every match was pretty good. I like seeing Sean Spears return, even though it was just a squash match, but he had a good return. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with him and Rich Holland. And then also the heel turn with Roxanne Perez, I'm very interested in that. I want to see how they build that up because people like to cheer for her, and it's going to be kind of tough to see how she's going to get booed. And then the main event was great. Love seeing the return of Trick Williams. Like you said, with the AEW stuff, they kind of tricked me at first with they pulled out the song during the match, and we thought that's where he was going to come out, but it was just a distraction from Tony D to be able to get that win. And then after Tony D got the win, I loved the way he's like, I got a little present for you, a little surprise for you, just for you, and that's when Trick Williams came out to the huge pop, and I think Trick Williams is getting over organically, and I love it. I love every minute of it, and I can't wait to see Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams. Most likely it's going to be a Stand and Deliver, so I'm excited about that.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely agree. This pay-per-view as a whole, not even a pay-per-view, but it's a TV pay-per-view. It reminds me of the TNA days where you got all these high-profile matches on TV, and I agree, like, seeing Sean Spears return. Even though it was a squash, it showed he's still in that good condition, that good shape. We haven't seen him wrestle for quite some time since being released from AEW. I liked the whole card. That was great. And the surprise of Trick Williams, I'll agree with you. He's getting over organically with the fans. He may be the man in NXT. So we'll just have to see. I would love to see them at Stand and Deliver go at it. Maybe I talked about this with Sonya last year, you know, when he was going, when it was Trick, or not Trick, when it was Carmelo going up against Ilya. I was like, oh, this may be the time where he takes the L and then goes over to the main roster. So this might be that kind of situation. Maybe this year, Trick gets over on him. Melo says, you know what? I'm on to the new brand, you know, and see what's up with new, bigger and better things, especially since we've been seeing him a lot more on the main roster. So we'll just have to wait and see what goes on with that. Sonya.
Yep.
Favorite match, favorite opinions, anything on this?
For AEW?
For AEW, for NXT?
I haven't watched this week, actually, so I don't really have an opinion right now.
We just spoiled everything for you. Oh, my goodness, Sonya, I'm so sorry. Well, make sure you,
it's okay,
make sure you check it out.
I zoned
okay,
out.
Perfect,
I was
perfect. No worries. Shout out to the UWC head councilman himself, Mr. Manny. Thank you for this opportunity of having me join the council about a year ago. Thank you for having Ace join us. He's going to be our new co-host moving forward. We're going to have a lot more to say. I know this week was kind of taken up with the interview, took up most of our time. At the same time, there's nothing wrong with the interview going good. He was telling a lot of great stories. I was getting a lot more information to the MMA world than I knew. So, you know, other than that, we'll be getting into some more wrestling next week as well. We have our guest announced already. It's going to be Mariachi Montana. Their set of brothers coming out. We're going to have Ace do his first interview with these two guys. So you guys don't want to miss next week's episode of UWC Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Ace, you got any final words before we close it out?
I'll say thank you for the opportunity. I'm excited about this, to be part of this show. Like I said, I love talking pro wrestling. This is one of my favorite things to do, talk about pro wrestling, and love hearing everybody's opinion. So thank you for the opportunity. I hope I did well my first one, and I can't wait to keep moving forward and keep getting better and better. And I think us three are going to have great chemistry together.
Oh, yeah, I can feel it in the air already. Our first episode together was magnificent. We got a little downtime before the show to get together and collaborate. And throughout the week, you know, you guys are going to be seeing more posts from Ace and his familia vlogs. You're going to see more posts from me, from Sonya, from the UWC account. Stay tuned because UWC does return June 30th. Here's a little last-minute news. UWC returns June 30th. It's not going to be in Hawaiian Gardens, ladies and gentlemen. I am sorry to say the city has done something evil and despicable. The city of Hawaiian Gardens has announced that they do not want any wrestling in their city anymore. So we have to find a new location from the originally scheduled Metroplex Arena, which has been home to countless of wrestling promotions for the last couple of years now. So stay tuned to UWC Radio to find out more information as we find our next venue. The date is set June 30th. You don't want to miss this, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a great show. It's going to be the comeback show. We're going to have Ace there. We're going to have Sonya there. We're going to have myself there. We're going to have Manny there. We're going to have some great wrestlers, all the wrestlers we've interviewed in the past couple of weeks. And it's actually been months now, the last 3 months. All these wrestlers we've had on, they will be there at this show, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss this. And as we sign off tonight, I just want to, you know, mention and honor our grand referee. Not ours, but, you know, one of my favorite referees. He passed last week. And that's El Tuso, the grand referee. He passed last week due to complications. He's pretty much a legend in the wrestling, the Lucha Libre world out here in Los Angeles, down in Mexico as well. He's going to be truly missed, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want to come shout out, show some love, show some support, there's going to be a show this Sunday at the Lucha Pro Arena here in Florence Avenue where you can come by, pay your respects, make a donation if you can for the rest of El Tuso, one of our favorite referees in the game. I don't want to bring it up, but I have to bring it up. You know, it sucks when someone you know, someone you admire, someone you got some game from, you know, and, you know, he's an older guy. You think he's going to be around forever, and it's always a punch in the gut when something like that happens. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys are free this Sunday, join me and some great, talented wrestlers as we honor and celebrate the life of El Tuso. And with that being said, hope everyone has a great night. Thank you for tuning in. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. Take care.